All right, now a very pleasant good day to each and every one of you. I'm Brother James, and I greet you one more time in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. In our series on the book of Revelation, it is lesson number 8 in our sub-series within the big series. We're talking about the doctrine of the rapture. And last time we were covering the fact that Israel's position and destiny, the nation of Israel, their position, their destiny is entirely distinct from the position and destiny of the New Testament church, and that the two comings, and even that is not a good term, the rapture and the second coming are entirely different events. And when you understand the biblical definition of the nation of Israel and the biblical definition of the body of Christ, the church, you couldn't fail to see that Christ will not come to reign over Israel until he has completed his dealings with the church. And we've been giving many examples and illustrations of that from the Bible. To recap where we were last time and move into where we will be this time, we pointed out that careful students of the Bible are aware that Matthew is written with Israel, not the church, with the Jews, not the Gentiles in view. And we detail that we go into a great length in proving that in our book on the New Testament survey. But here we read in Matthew 24, and verse number 15, Matthew 24, 15, Jesus Christ says, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes." If you turn over to, let's go on down to verse 19. "Woe unto them that are with child, them that give suck in those days, but pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no nor ever shall be." The concern here is the temple in Jerusalem and an abomination being set up in that temple as Daniel warned his people. The message here is to them that are in Judea, and the message here is to them that would be in great difficulty if they had to travel, fly, escape on the Sabbath day. Now, I shouldn't have to say this, but I do. Jerusalem is not Washington, D.C. Judea is not Central Europe. The temple is not the one in Salt Lake City. And if you are living in South America, Africa, Australia, Asia, North America, South America, Central America, the Eastern Seaboard, the West Coast, it is no matter to you at all whether or not you have to fly, run, flee, drive, take a bus, catch a cab on the Sabbath day. Now, everyone who knows this much about the Bible knows that Jerusalem, Judea, and the Sabbath are Jewish matters, not church matters. You know that. Mark chapter number 13, Jesus Christ says it this way in the book of Mark, written to a more of a Gentile audience. Verse number 14, "But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. Then let them which be that be in Judea flee to the mountains. And let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house. And let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment." You just got to run, fly, go, get out of here. Verse 17, but woe to them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days, and pray ye that your flight be not in the winter. For in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created unto this time, neither shall be. And except the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened those days. Okay, there are matters that we cannot go into until later in our study in Revelation. We're trying to stay with this idea of the rapture and the second coming being two different times. Notice the message here is not lift up your eyes and look for the Lord to come and catch you unto himself. The message here is keep an eye on Jerusalem. When you see an abominable image in the temple, run and flee for your lives. Get out of that place. Get away from that locale, and that the Lord will shorten those days to preserve the elect. Now, when I say that, or read that, I didn't say it, when I read that, people jump in and say, aha, look at there, the elect in the tribulation, the elect in this time of terrible trouble. Now, the only reason you would think that the elect is a reference to New Testament Christians is either you are a Roman Catholic or a Calvinist, or you just believe things people tell you about the Bible and you never actually read and study the Bible for yourself. Because if you're a Roman Catholic, you think that the church is Israel part two and the elect are members of that church. If you're a Calvinist, you think that the elect are certain people chosen by God in heaven before God created the heavens and the earth, and that you were specially selected by God to be born in the elect group that will be saved before you know you're saved and have eternal life and so forth. Not in the Bible, none of that. The Catholic view, the Calvinist view, not in the Bible. We know that. But if you've been told by some minister, if you've been told by some author that elect equals Christian and Christian equals elect, I can see why you would be confused about Matthew 24, Mark chapter 13, and many other places in the Bible. So let me read to you once again from Romans chapter 11 and verse number 26. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. Mine are already taken away. If you are saved, yours are already taken away. Verse 28, as concerning the gospel, they, Israel, Jacob, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. You know what you just read? You just read that Israel, Jacob, are the elect. They are the subjects, the objects of election, which is something entirely different from the gospel. And in fact, these elect people are enemies of the gospel. And because they are enemies of the gospel, during this time period known as the church age, about which Romans is speaking, they're not saved. So you just read about elect people who are not saved and saved people who are not elect. It sure is important to read and believe the Bible. Now, why do we bring all this up? Well, number one, the elect people are not Christians according to the Bible. Number two, the elect people are the ones spoken of as going through the tribulation. Matthew 24, Mark chapter 13. And number three, the elect people are in such tribulation because they are enemies of the gospel. So the idea that you could believe the gospel and be saved and be the elect going through the great tribulation just shows somebody's not reading their Bible very carefully. I didn't say they weren't reading the Bible, because you got to find something in the Bible to pull out and support what you're teaching. But if you read the Bible carefully as it's written, church, Israel, born-again people, Jacob, saved people, the elect, those who believe the gospel and those that don't, theirs that are saved from the wrath to come, and those that must go through the time of great tribulation. We know the difference according to the Word of God. Now, the greatest support in the Bible for the fact that the entire seven-year tribulation period has to do with the nation of Israel and not with the church is found in Daniel chapter number 9. In fact, it is impossible to have a clear understanding of prophecy, and especially the truths unveiled in the book of Revelation, without embracing the literal truth found in Daniel 9, verses 24 to 27. I don't think it's an overstatement at all. So let's take a look at these verses and then discuss them. Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Be honest, please, be honest. Who are Daniel's people? They're not Baptists, they're not Methodists, they're not Lutherans, they're not Presbyterians, they're not Pentecostals, they're not Assembly of God, they're not Mormons, they're not Jehovah's Witnesses, they're not Roman Catholics or Episcopalians. Who are Daniel's people? You know who they are. The Jews. And upon thy holy city. Question, come on, question. Are you a saved, born-again child of God? Where on earth is your holy city? Nowhere. Don't say Jerusalem. That's not your city. God didn't give you that city. God gave that city to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, 12 tribes of Israel. And he put a throne there for David. He says David's throne forever. Christ will come and sit on the throne of his father David. So Daniel's people, the Jews, Daniel's city, Jerusalem, to do what? To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision of the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Those are the reasons for, the purposes for, the entire 70 weeks that God has determined upon Daniel's people and Daniel's people's holy city. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. All right, in this remarkable passage of the Word of God, Daniel was given information regarding the future of his own nation for 490 eventful years. Notice in verse 24, thy people, couldn't be any clearer. Daniel was a Jew, a Hebrew, thy city can only be Jerusalem. Each week in these verses represents 7 years. History establishes this fact, for from the time Cyrus, the king, gave the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. What you read about here, what you read about in Ezra, Nehemiah, Chronicles, from that declaration, that commandment, under the crucifixion of Christ, the cutting off of Messiah, was 483 years. This could not be coincidence. This could not be accidental. The hand of God guides the affairs of His people in this world. This has left 1 week, 7 years, yet unaccounted for. The final week of the 7 years is therefore yet future. God's word is never broken. His promises never go unfulfilled. The prophecies set forth in the Word of God always come to pass exactly as they are written. So, we are waiting for the fulfillment of the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy. Now, Daniel 9:26 says, you just read it, that after the death of Christ, the city, Jerusalem, and the sanctuary, the temple in Jerusalem, would be destroyed. And so it was. This took place in 70 AD under Titus the Roman. Israel was cast out of her land and became a fugitive throughout the earth. Because of their rejection of Christ, God ceased to acknowledge Israel as His people. Their history as a nation was put on hold at the cross. Since that time, the New Testament shows the church being gathered out from among the nations of the world and formed into a body composed of those truly redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. This is taught in Acts, in Romans, in Galatians, and in Ephesians with unmistakable clarity. Now we're told in Romans 11:11 that through their fall, the Jews, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Let me read the verse, Romans 11:11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather, through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them, the fallen nation of Israel, to jealousy. Notice they're still in Israel after there's a church. How can you provoke them to jealousy with this group of people that's gotten saved if this group of people that's gotten saved is them? Their future is given in Daniel 9:27. The covenant is confirmed with many for 1 week. In the midst of that week, 3.5 years, right in the middle, 1,260 months here, 1,260 months there. He causes the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. There's this overspreading abomination of desolation set up there in the temple. It's right here in Daniel 9. Jesus refers to it in Matthew and in Mark. So, it is then that the final 7 years will unfold. This is so evident from verse 27 that it can only be denied by persons with a doctrinal, devotional, or political agenda to which they cling, preferring it to the plain words of Scripture. Here then is convincing evidence that this tribulation could not possibly commence until after the church's history on earth is complete in the rapture. It's often been rightly said that the prophetic clock stopped at the crucifixion of Christ when Messiah was cut off. And the prophetic clock will not start to tick again until the church is caught up to glory. Now, it's worth noticing that the whole of these final 7 years is without division. While Revelation sets forth events which will happen in the first half of the week of years, and others which will take place in the second half of the week of years, the foundational passage in Daniel 9 is God's statement that the 7 years are one, indivisible, and that the week belongs to the nation of Israel. Daniel 9:27 shows that the whole of this week of years has to do with that nation just as much as did the previous 69 years. The first 69 years weren't about the church. Not at all. No one. I've never read a single book. I've never heard a single preacher say the first 69 weeks of years in Daniel 9 have to do with the church. But I've heard many say that the 70th week has to do with the church. But God said all 70 have to do with the same people. You just read it in the Bible. Well, I heard a man say one time, I know, but you just read it in the Bible. Well, I have this pastor, I know, but you just read it in the Bible. You gotta stay with the Bible. In the order of that great final week is given in logical sequence in the last chapter of Isaiah. And I want to look there at a verse. Isaiah 66, verse 8 speaks of the pains and travails of the nation in its deep sufferings. Isaiah 66 and verse number 8. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. This will take place at the time of Israel's national new birth. Like the birth of a natural baby, this birth is preceded by pains of travail. Matthew 24:8 says these are only the beginning of sorrows, the beginning of the travail pains of Isaiah 66:8. Now, think about this. Revelation 11, Israel, Judah, that nation is going to be saved, born in a day. Isaiah 66 says that travail and birth pains will precede that birth. And Matthew 24 says those pains, those beginnings of sorrows in the great tribulation time will take place upon those in Judea and Jerusalem, the Jews. How could that possibly be a reference to Christians in the church? We've already been saved. We've already had our new birth. The people going through the tribulation, at the end of that tribulation, they will be saved. They will be born. They will have a new birth. I've already got mine. Are you saved? You've already got yours. In Matthew 24, 15 to 22, which we read, we find the Great Tribulation, which according to Daniel 9 does not begin in the middle of the final years. It takes place after those travail pains. And notice that these pains representing the first half of the 7 years of the tribulation are attributed in Isaiah 66 to Israel as much as the last 3.5 years are in Matthew 24. This clearly proves that both the first 3.5 years and the second 3.5 years have to do with Israel. There's no evidence in Scripture that the church will be on earth at that time. In fact, she cannot be, for her time is found in that long interval of Daniel 9, which we now know as the Christian dispensation in which we live while the church is being redeemed. Not until the church is caught up to be with Christ can these other events take place. 483 years, over and done, 7 years awaiting, and the space in between is filled by what? Upon this rock I will build my church. Revelation 2, Revelation 3, Revelation 4, 1, up goes the church. You turn the page, and here comes Daniel's 70th week. Now, Isaiah 66, 8 speaks of the first half of Israel's tribulation. Isaiah 66, 15 to 16 follow the revelation of the Lord's coming in wrath to execute judgment upon the world. Take a look, Isaiah 66, and this time we read verses 15 and 16. Let me get back over there. Isaiah 66, 15. For behold, the Lord will come with fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger and fury, his rebuke with flames of fire. That matches Malachi chapter 4. It matches Psalm number 19. It matches Revelation 19. For by fire and by his sword, Revelation 19, will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. So there's Christ coming in judgment upon the world after this terrible tribulation time upon the nation of Israel. And what is followed next? What comes next? Why, the millennial blessings on the nation of Israel. Look at verse 19. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations, to Tarshish, Pul, and Lud, that draw the bow, to Tubal and Javan, to the isles afar off that have not heard my fame, neither seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Lord out of all nations upon horses and in chariots and in litters and upon mules and upon swift beasts, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, saith the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel into the house of the Lord. And I will also take them for priests and for Levites, saith the Lord. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. So what do you have in Isaiah 66? Great tribulation, second coming of the Lord in wrath, the regathering of all the Hebrew people back into their land, and God's blessing upon them, and at the same time, messengers going forth to the isles. Look it up. That's a name God uses for the Gentile nations going out to tell them about the Lord who is sitting on a throne at Jerusalem. Well, praise the Lord. We'll talk about Daniel 9 a lot more later. Let me just say this before we leave it. The reason stated for this great tribulation, and again, we'll dig in, but not now. We'll cover in detail, but not now. But I want to say it. There are seven reasons given for this great tribulation, and none of them can have to do with God's church. Let me give you one example. To make reconciliation for iniquity. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? I have. Have you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul? I have. Okay, if you've done that, you know what happened? You were reconciled to God. By virtue of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, no longer were your sins imputed to you, but God imputed to you the righteousness of Jesus Christ. My iniquities have been forgiven, and I have been reconciled to God. Why would I go through a great tribulation period for the purpose of reconciling me to God and saving me from my iniquity when it's already been done? As I said, we'll have to deal with that much, much later. All right, let's take a break here, and we'll wrap up this lesson, this segment, and then we'll pick up right here next time. We've got more proofs that the rapture and the second coming are not the same, that Israel and the church are not the same, and that the rapture is for the church and the tribulation is for the nation of Israel. And we'll take that up or pick that up again next time. Thanks for watching. Till next time, I'm Brother James. May the Lord richly bless you, and good day.